And welcome back to the Living Blended podcast. This is Colby.
And this is Megan.
And welcome in. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm pretty good. You know, I had a great dinner of, I cooked. It wasn't that great.
No, it was I liked it. It was pretty good. So we just wanted to release a podcast to kind of give you an update here. And then if you read the title of this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about how we introduce the kids to Megan, to the bonus mom. But first we wanted to give a couple updates as far as our website and social media are concerned. First is our website is livingblendedpod.com. So, Megan, can you tell them what they can find there?
So on livingblendedpod.com, in case you didn't catch that the first time.
That was livingblendedpod.com.
Three times for good measure.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find blog posts. Each of us have written. Neither one of us are professional writers, but we try.
Way better than me. She was an English teacher for 10 years, so.
And every English teacher is a writer in their, in their head. So you can find both of our blogs there. It kind of gives you different perspectives on how we are seeing and sort of living through our blended family. And also we have things like resources. We haven't posted anything there just yet, but it's resources that we have found to be useful that we want to share with you guys. So as we come across those and kind of reflect on the ones that we've already done, and read and listen to, then we will post those there for you guys as well. Because like we said, we're not experts. We rely on experts and a lot of their advice. And so we want to share that with you guys there as well.
Yeah. And throughout the podcast, we'll probably, like not just this episode, but all future ones, we'll be bringing up things that we might have done and point you to the resources that kind of started us doing that or got us to do that.
Yeah, gave us the inspiration for how we did certain things. We didn't, most of the things that we have done, especially when it comes to the very early stages of like meeting the kids and things like that, those were really heavily researched, and we read a ton of books and articles and things about just the kind of psychology about blended families and how to do it right. And not to say that our way is the way, but we have taken great precaution and how we've done this. And so we want to be able to give credit where credit is due, because credit is not due to us.
Yeah. And we're going to try and do that bi-weekly. We're going to try and post blogs bi-weekly. That'll probably be mostly Megan, because she is better with the words is what I'm going with.
Much grammar.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. That's why I'm not going to be writing blogs. not nearly as much, at least. And I don't know, your perspective is probably more, well, I don't know that it's more or less needed, but anyway, you're definitely the better writer of the two of us.
Oh, thanks, babe.
You're welcome. And then we have some social updates. We have a live Facebook page that is at Living Blended Pod. And just wanted to give an update on our Instagram. I hope for the Facebook community to grow. We'd like to be active in our social media.
For sure.
The more interaction we get, the better that we might be able to make this. And therefore, the more people that I think might could benefit from this, or at least commiserate and...
I think just knowing that there's other people out there who understand. There's my... Just kind of to go along with that point about... that I would be writing more, or it would be more from my perspective on those kinds of things, that I think a lot is said about divorce and how to move on from divorce into another relationship and things like that. Very rarely it took a lot of research and a lot of hunting and scouring the internet to find even the resources that I did when it comes to, like, my first blog post is about being bio childless, and it's not super common. Not super common that it happens. I mean, a lot of women who don't have biological children go into relationships with men who do have biological children. I think it's almost kind of swept under the rug a little bit. And so I think that's a perspective that isn't isn't given a whole lot. And so it's, I think, one that is needed
to be out there more. That was really the first blog post too.
Mm-hmm.
So go check our website out, go check out Facebook and then Instagram. We are at Living Blended
Pod. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, all three are Living Blended Pod. And you can reach our email, which is currently at Living Blended Together at Gmail, but that might change in the future. And Instagram, we'd like to keep that kind of lighthearted. We don't want to really just like dump a bunch of Instagram posts. We want to be kind of calculated with that. So I think we were talking about two or three times a week.
Yeah, the content that we share, we want to be specific and intentional. And
sometimes dumb and silly.
But still specific and intentional. Even with our dumbness and silliness, we still want to be intentional with our stupidity.
Yes, it was very, no. Okay, so should we jump into our first, our main topic?
Yeah, knowing before meeting.
Yep, so getting to know, this is specifically getting Megan to know the boys before, which are my kids, before they actually met. So we kind of wanted to walk through a couple of the things that we were very intentional about. The first of which, and these are, I don't know that these are necessarily in chronological order. I think for the most part, as I'm looking through, I think they are the ones we're talking about. the first one is just kind of talking about Megan in front of them. So again, to kind of set the stage, the kids are Carter's 5 and Caden is 3. So obviously a lot of these things that we've done maybe won't work for teenagers or preteens, or, you know, they probably gear more towards toddlers or preschool kids.
Yeah, for sure. They were even younger. Yeah, they were younger at the time. Caden was under 2.
Carl
was barely 4.
That's true. So, one of the first things that we talked about doing specifically, and I ended up doing, was just kind of talking about you in front of them.
I remember the first time you said you did it, it was inadvertent, but you thought maybe, like, subconsciously, maybe it wasn't. I think you had left like a game of Scattergories out or something, or maybe we're getting it down. And Carter was like, "Are you going to play that? Or yeah, I'm going to play a game online or something with my friend, my friend Megan." And I think you were saying something like, "Oh, I didn't intend for that to come out that way, but I'm kind of glad it did." It made me nervous when he did that, and I was like,
"Oh,
what if he, you know, doesn't like this and it's a mistake, and he regrets saying my name in front of him?"
And I think the kids both. I have a very close friend named Megan.
Right.
Who they had confused for a while. I kept having to say, no, not Megan from Megan and Randy, two of my close friends, but my friend Megan. but I thought it was important to constantly bring your name up, especially early in the relationship when I was honestly still trying to feel out. I mean, I felt very early on that we were destined for a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's few months that passed that I wasn't really convinced that that was going to be the future for us. But still, I still wanted to protect the kids and wanted to take the time there. So honestly, that was my way of kind of throwing it out there and doing something to progress your relationship with them, even though you weren't there. So I think it helped for you to, or for them to kind of get to learn a little bit about you. Because we would often talk about maybe what I did with my friend Megan.
Right.
Like, especially to kind of take a step back and set the stage a little more. I have my kids half time. Their mother has them the other half. So a lot of the times when I would get them on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights. I'd be kind of recapping what I might have done that weekend or what I might have done those last 2 days with you. They kind of learned a little bit about you and what you enjoyed to do. Because I would even just talk about,
we went hiking.
Yeah, we went hiking or Megan went for a run or whatever.
Yeah.
So then from there, it went to, actually, I think it was when the boys and I went for a hike, just the three of us. Mm-hmm. And again, all of this is happening before you've ever right. met them, not even through like a phone call or anything like that. And we were leaving the hiking and we were all in my car, my SUV at the time. And you had texted me and I had my phone plugged in. And I think it was Apple CarPlay at the time. I think I had an iPhone at that point.
You did. When we first started, dating, you had a.
That's when I made
Android
the switch.
Android and you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was a green bubble.
Yes, you were a green bubble. Thankfully, switched over.
Yeah. It came over the speakers of the car and said, "Megan blah, 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 said so," right, and it rattled off what you said, and. It said, would you like to reply or whatever the prompt is for it? And I hear Carter in the background just say, yeah. And so I just kind of went with it. And it was like maybe a 15-minute drive that we were going back home. And I think you clued into the fact that it wasn't me texting you because it was a 4-year-old.
Right. It wasn't
mumbling
speaking
randomness.
The way that,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, there was no real contact. Not that I remember. I have a terrible memory, but I don't remember there ever being any real context to it.
No, I don't remember something like it was something because like I knew where you
I
were.
Think we saw
I knew that you were out hiking
or bunny.
Something. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what it was. It was about an animal. You're like, we saw a bunny on the hike, and I'm like, that's not something you would tell me. Like, that's not.
Yeah. So you clued into it real mm-hmm. quick, but anyway, so it was like 15 minutes of you and him kind of going back and forth, and you were just playing into. The fact that a 4-year-old, you were trying to have a conversation with a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything of substance.
No, but to him, that's, I don't know if you've heard that phrase where it's like, it talks about kids, you know, when they are trying to get you to listen to them about, you know, whatever it is they happen to be talking about but to us, it's like a little thing, but to them, it's a big thing. And,
yeah.
But that is kind of subjective and it goes with time. And as they get older, you know, the big things really will be big things, but if you never listen to the little things, you never get to listen to the big thing. So if you have the kid who, you know, you never listen to their stories about drawing Spider-Man in class, well, they're probably also going to be not going to be the kid who tells you that they're smoking weed in the bathroom at school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was inconsequential and it wasn't anything important, but to him it was. To him, seeing a bunny on a hike was something he wanted to tell somebody. It was important to him because in his 4-year-old world, that is a big thing.
I mean, yeah.
He had so much less, you know, life experience and all those things, and that was a really big deal for him. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to reflect on it and ask him if he remembered it too, because yeah. it was a year and a half ago, so
yeah.
I don't know that he would remember it, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think that might be fun. But yeah, so that was a good way to kind of have an interaction with them, mm-hmm. but not actually, you weren't talking to them specifically, like on the phone. You weren't
right.
talking voice wise, or it wasn't
yeah.
FaceTime or anything like that. And so I think that gave us a little bit of motivation to do the next thing. And that was just a text. I think it was through images.
It was. We played Guess Who. So I guess you were playing at home and you and I were texting or something and told me that you were going to play Guess Who and asked if I wanted to play. And I think I was kind of like, well, how?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you would send me pictures of your board and then I could ask Carter the next question just through text and... you know, we sort of played that way. And you know, I guess you would tell him like, you know, she asked, does the person have brown hair? And he would answer and flip down the board, you know,
yeah.
flip down the characters.
Yeah. And I mean, he was obviously very aware that he was playing with you.
Yeah.
He knew that I was texting you to get all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just as engaged as if I were sitting there playing
yeah.
a matching game or Guess Who with him. I don't know if we did. That would have been a good one to do matching. I don't think we ever did like a matching card game.
Not via text.
No, not via text.
Played tons of.
Yeah.
I refuse to play a memory game with him because his memory is just absolutely out of this world, and
yeah.
I can't remember where I left my keys half the time.
Yep. Nope. So. He beats me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think after we moved sort of from texting and things like that, I don't remember if we did. Oh no, it was still via text. I went and got a fish, and I'm not just some, you know, connoisseur of sea life by any means, but there was a book that I read. It was called The Step Family Handbook, and it was one that I picked up pretty early on. Again, like kind of like you, like I knew pretty early that it was going to be this was going to be a long term relationship, and I wanted to do this right and have that a sort of strong basis and strong foundation. And so I did a little bit of research online and found some good resources, and one of which was called The Step Family Handbook.
Who's the author of it?
Karen Bonnell and Patricia Papernow. It's a great name.
Papernow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
P-A-P-E-R-N-O-W.
Okay.
Papernow.
Yeah. And eventually this stuff like this, we want to put on our that resources page that Megan hinted towards.
Yeah. I would say if you're local and you want to borrow it, you can. It is completely highlighted and annotated though, because that's, hashtag English teacher. always. So anyway, in there was a kind of a, not really a guide, but sort of suggestions on how to meet, things like it was called a sneak peek. And it's kind of some of the things that we'd mentioned, like mentioning a name and things like that. And one was engaging the kids without being sort of around. And so I went out and got a, what was the kind of fish? It was a beta fish.
Yeah.
And sent you a picture. And was like, hey, look what I got today. Hoping that you would turn around and show the kids. And because I knew that the boys were with you. And you did. And you're like, hey, look what Megan got. And they, oh, I like the fish and whatnot. And then I was asking for help naming it, and you would record Carter trying to come up with a name. And then I went to PetSmart and took pictures of the little decor things that go inside the fish tank.
Yeah.
One was like a shark head, and one was like a pizza thing, and just the decor that kind of goes inside, and sent the pictures to you and was like, hey, have Carter pick between this one and this one. Have the boys pick between the purple shells at the bottom or the pink ones or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of engaging with them that way. And we kind of moved along a little bit after that. And I think that's when you actually first FaceTimed, because the boys wanted to see the fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That they wanted to see the fish kind of moving around and swimming around. And so we FaceTimed. I think it was the first time we ever FaceTimed and saw each other that way, which had been, like I said, after several times of mentioning my name and texting over the phone, over the car phone, and games via text and things like that. So we're kind of making little incremental baby steps toward, at the time seemed like such a big thing, which at the time it was such a big thing. And so just they could see it, and they were kind of acting goofy and whatnot. And I don't remember how it came up, but I think it was Caden pinched your nose or something, and your nose looked like a monkey, and it became that, and it became
I can't
remember exactly how it became up, but they kept saying monkey, and it was monkey nose. And so after we hung up, and so I think it was only 3 or 4 minutes that we talked, and after we hung up, I remember naming him monkey nose and putting it on the side, writing it in marker on the side of his little fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a tank,
fish
it was a bowl.
Yeah.
It was a bowl. It was small.
Not a tank.
Poor, but he was small. He's a beta.
Also, don't tell, we can't, the kids can never listen to this.
Oh, yes. Monkey Nose has since left this earth.
He
has moved on from the earthly plane into whatever it is the fish go to.
Yeah.
The drain. Anyway, so I...
But they still think he...
Yeah, they still think he's alive and well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That Michael is... My nephew supposed to be raising him. And,
yeah, he's taking
and
he, care
yeah,
of him.
Yeah, he's taking care of him. So he... they think that Michael is taking care of Monkey Nose. Betas don't live long. I don't want to tell them that.
No.
So anyway, so I sent you a picture of hey, they named him, and tell them thanks for naming him and things like that, so that they could start to be part of, the conversation and part of more two-way interaction.
Yeah, and I could tell that was impactful for them, especially Carter. Caden was probably two by there. He's probably
maybe yeah.
Yeah, and Carter would constantly ask about Monkey Nose. I think we mentioned that on the last podcast, that he was checking on breakfast, lunch, and dinner, making sure you were feeding him, and
he was
doing good, and he wanted pictures. And so, I think that kind of helped connect them to you a little bit in a way. Another thing we did, so I just realized these aren't totally in chronological order, because another thing that we ended up doing, I don't know if you had anything else on Monkey Nose specifically. Rest in peace. Was we tried to, I've recorded videos of me doing just monotonous, boring day-to-day stuff with the kids, like going for a walk or, and sometimes it was, for me, it kind of served two purposes. One was for you to get to see the kid, because it's not like I didn't share photos of the kids with you.
Right.
You knew what my kids looked like. You knew their names. You knew what was going on in their lives. That was a lot, your knowledge of them was already pretty well established. This was just one more way to kind of bring you into the fold and get to know them more, because I'd just be videoing a walk and I'd send it to you like, hey, we're taking our, you know, evening stroll. This is during the height of COVID, when a lot of the times we were on quarantine and couldn't really get out to do anything. So I think a lot of those videos were us going on walks.
Yeah, it was lots of walks, or Carter driving the car, or not his, you know, SUV. It was Carter has a small car.
Yeah,
yeah, a little just, like 12 just hand volt. Over, yeah, yeah, didn't hand over the keys to his SUV or anything. It was things like that, and it helped. You know, it just helped me kind of get to know the boys through more than just pictures. It helped me see the way that they interact with each other. Cause, even once we got to, we were speaking on FaceTime and things like that, you would still send me videos all the time. And especially when kids get on FaceTime, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of, sort of crazier behavior and things like that. And it can give an altered perception of who the other person is. And, videos kind of helped me see them in their more day to day lives. So I got to kind of see how they interacted with you and how they interacted with each other, and kind of helped me get to know them both that way.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually it turned into less of the kind of indirect stuff where I'm recording them and they really don't know that it's going to you. They think I'm just recording it. And it went more to the, hey, do you want to say anything to Megan? And it was that kind of one directional communication, because I don't know that you sent a whole lot of video back. They knew what you looked like.
Yeah. If maybe. I did, any videos that I would send back would be, it would almost be like a selfie video, or Carter asked if you fed Monkey Nose today, and
he's
like, "Here, yeah. Oh look, here's me feeding him. You know, here's my proof that Monkey Nose is, you know, being fed his breakfast, lunch, and dinner."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because betas eat 3 times a day.
That's right. So yeah, it got more to them having kind of a more direct contact with you, where they're actually talking to you, but you know, not getting that maybe immediate feedback because you're busy or doing something else. And then one of the kind of, we did this definitely before FaceTiming. I say definitely, and then I was like, I'm pretty sure. But when we did when you did the scavenger hunt.
I don't remember if that was before or after FaceTime. I know that they already knew my name for sure, but I don't remember beyond that. And I think y'all had already, no, you hadn't already, but me and you had been to that park. I don't think the boys had been to that park yet.
No, they hadn't.
Yeah, there's a park that was...
I had talked to them about...
That waterfall area?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to them about us going to the park before. And this is a nature trail type park that has a, 3 mile, maybe a 5 mile loop. I don't know how big it is.
It depends on how far out you go, but you can do anywhere from 3 to 8 miles on it.
What is it? Oakmont? What's it called?
It's Oakmont Park.
Park in Fort Worth. We're based out of Fort Worth. And so, just walk through what your thought process was there as far as kind of setting that up and your reasoning behind it.
Like you said, it was COVID. No one of them, there wasn't a whole lot, still is. It was the height of COVID or the beginning of COVID, and we didn't really know how to take stuff like safety precautions, things like that, what we could do and couldn't do, what was open, what wasn't open. It wasn't in April or March, there wasn't a whole lot open at all. And so just a way to get them, part of my intention was just to get them out of the house and give them something, sort of exciting to do, because we talked before about, going to museums and things like that. And that would sort of be their, the things y'all would do on weekends, and to give them something to do besides, walk to the pond in the neighborhood. And it was also something that I had seen just a way to engage kids, sort of who were bored at home. And I'd seen it on some parenting or it may have been a teaching website, just as a way to sort of engage kids. And so that was my main, premise of wanting to do it. And the way I ended up selecting kind of the things that they did and the clues that they had to do was just kind of knowing who the boys were at that point. A lot of that was through videos, and it helped me get to know that sort of where their vocabulary was, and well, it was really more Carter, because like I said, Caden was super young.
Not that they could read, that Carter couldn't read or anything, but just understanding
where.
Okay, I didn't know it was that calculated. I honestly hadn't even thought of that.
Oh yeah, I wanted to know. I used those videos to kind of understand where his vocabulary level was, so I wasn't giving clues that would be super hard that he wouldn't be able to figure out because I wanted him to feel successful.
Yeah.
And
such
then,
an English teacher.
I know. That's it never leaves you. And then it would send them on little places around the park, and they would find stuff at every stop. Like they would find like a pair of sunglasses. They would find Hot Wheels because remember you told me they were super into cars. One was like coloring pages of, I think it was Spider-Man and somebody else, Marvel. Maybe it was Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And little things like that that they could go and find. And just as a fun thing for them. Honestly, I did it a little bit because I don't remember why you were a lot in your head right then. I mean, I'm always in my head, but you were definitely like in your head a little bit. I don't know if it was because...
Like about our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
It was probably because it was getting...
Close.
Yeah, it was getting serious. The boys were getting involved more. Mm-hmm. And so there was probably this like shadow of doubt that was creeping in. Like,
yeah.
Like okay, protect yeah. the kids.
I remember you saying something about like, you know, if you're not really... If you don't really want to go down this road with me, like you need to bow out now kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that was, I don't know. I also wanted to show you that I was like, no, I'm in this for the long haul and I want, yeah, I want the blended family life and we can make incremental steps toward it. And this is just one incremental step that we can take.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then eventually we worked our way to FaceTime,
mm-hmm.
Which you kind of hinted at a little earlier, but yeah, we would occasionally have FaceTime calls. And when we did it, I didn't FaceTime a lot with the boys. So I didn't want it to stand out as like, you know, I only FaceTime with Megan.
Right.
So I actually started FaceTime, like I did video chats with my parents mm-hmm. and with some friends. And so they could see, especially friends that had kids their age that they were familiar with and always around.
Yeah.
So it kind of just blended a little bit more together because
right.
I didn't want Megan to just kind of stand out. Because again, we still, until you actually met the kids, that was when I felt, you know, when we decided to do that, that's mm-hmm. when I was like, okay, this is like, I am super, super confident in this because I didn't want people to go in and out of the boys'
yeah.
lives. Yeah, it wasn't until that point, but really probably even the FaceTime, honestly, it was probably at that point that I felt super, super comfortable.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we FaceTimed a bunch. And then I think, like we said in our last podcast, we went back to that same park that the scavenger hunt happened at. And that's where we had our, like, happenstance meeting when you first met him.
Yeah, that was also advice from the Step Family Handbook. I don't remember exactly. It was partly in the same, like, sneak peek sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
I'll put links in the show notes to that too.
To the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great read if you are in this situation or even, because it goes through everything from sort of, you know, what to look for in a partner. You know, if you're coming into a relationship with kids, if you're coming into a relationship without kids, kind of, are you cut out for step family life? Cause there's a lot of parts of it that aren't easy and, kind of being your, being honest with yourself and true with yourself about, is this something that you are confident you're going to be able to do? And it goes all the way through, you know, meeting and spending more time together and eventually living together and all of those kinds of things. So it's a great resource. So,
yeah,
we will definitely link to that.
And this is a total digression, but if you hear two dogs growling at each other, apologies. We have a Westie and a Corgi.
And they're never quiet. Ever.
Oh my gosh. And the Corgi is 8, 9 months now?
No, she's 8 months.
She's eight
yeah.
months. Okay.
She just looks like she's not. She girl likes to eat. She don't miss
ball
any meals.
Of energy. Yeah, so you might hear them just growling in the background.
Yeah,
we're going to ignore them so you can too.
Poor
okay. Well, I think that's all we had this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next episode, we are planning to talk about what we call the all fun fallacy. So until next time, bye.
Bye, guys.